It's good to be back again with you.
Praise God for that. Now let us pray.
Our Heavenly Father, as we turn aside from our busy world, with all its clamor and distraction, quieten our hearts in your presence, that we may be still and know that you are God. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for the promise of your presence when we are gathered in your name. Help us to remember that you are here with us, and we meet together in prayer. Accept our prayers, both silent and spoken, and in the multitude of your mercies, look with compassion upon us. Strengthen us, Lord, in your service, that the words we have heard in the Holy Spirit, that we may sing a new song and find expression in our daily life and work. We come before you, Lord. Thank you for your loving concern for us, your children, and for our daily provisions for our bodily needs. Keep us always mindful of our dependence on your goodness and blessing, and help us in turn to care for the wants of others. Lord, we pray for the community of God's people. We think, O Lord, of the strife in many lands, in the Middle East, in the Far East. We pray, Lord, for understanding to confront one another without hatred or bitterness, and to work together with forbearance, justice, and truth. Especially, Lord, we remember the mothers and children caught in this strife and violence. Keep them, Lord, in your care. We pray for those who negotiate for peace, that out of the bitterness and darkness, there will be righteousness, justice, and truth. Lord, we pray for our nation, for blessings and health, for our Queen. Long may she reign in bringing unity. We pray, Lord, for the government, especially at this time of Brexit, for our Prime Minister, and for all who are in administrative authority. Grant them wisdom and foresight in the exercise of their duties, that they may provide for the needs of all our people. Lord, we pray for our fellowship. We commend to you our homes, the members of our families, near and far. Unite us in your love and guard us in your power from all harm and danger. We bring to you, Lord, those who are laid aside in illness. In your mercy, restore them to health and strength, and give them a quiet confidence in your love and power, and keep them in your peace. Grant us peace, O Lord, in our time, peace and reconciliation among nations, peace and unity within our church, peace and harmony in our community and in our homes. May your peace and love abide in all our hearts. Through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Be not anxious. Worry is something which every one of us has some time or another. But when worry becomes extreme, then it overwhelms us. Let me present to you a picture. You are the first to arrive at your job, and you are the last to leave. You are always in a hurry. You feel guilty about doing anything other than work. But when you are at work, you begin to fantasize about getting away. Any unforeseen problems that arise during the day seem like setbacks. You find you have trouble making a decision, large or small. You find that your thoughts trail off because it's too much trouble, too much time to think about it. You forget your appointments, your deadlines. You're distrustful of other people, that you have to do everything yourself. If any of these points apply to you, then you have too much stress in your life. Like many people, you are afflicted with anxiety. See, anxiety is something which has a feeling of uneasiness, of concern and worry. You perspire, you shake, your blood pressure goes up, you break out into hives. Stress and worry causes ulcers, skin rashes, shortness of breath, loss of sleep, and loss of appetite. Studies have shown that people who are too busy with too much to accomplish, too little time, wear their bodies out at an early age. See, worry paralyzes us mentally. Some students who know, for example, forget everything under the stress of taking a test. We need a prescription for anxiety and stress. We need a prescription for worry-free living. Let's begin with Psalm. Psalm 94, 19 says, "In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Or when the burdens of life seem too much to bear, God consoles and comforts and supports us." In 1 Peter 5, 7, it says, "Cast all your care on him, because he careth for you." We can trust God to take care of our problems. From what we have read the scripture, let me read to you Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now, these two verses have three attitudes and one conclusion. What are the three attitudes? Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be known unto God. In other words, be anxious in nothing, prayerful in everything, and thankful in anything. And what is the conclusion? Peace forever. So the three attitudes are founded on the faith in God. When we live by faith, these three attitudes guide our lives, and the peace of God settles quietly over our minds and hearts. Let us briefly look at these three attitudes. Be anxious in nothing. Never worry. As we read this advice that Paul is writing to the Philippians, he was writing from a prison cell. Paul's desire was actually to travel and preach the word, preach the gospel to distant lands. But here he was in jail, in prison. He was old, and there were opinions that he was encountering. There was tension and conflict in the church at that time. Yet Paul says, do not worry. You see, our lives are full with worry. Worry actually is the greatest weapon of the devil. It will steal your joy, steal your contentment, steal your happiness. And we become so wrapped up with worry. We worry about tomorrow. We worry about yesterday. And we never find peace today. What's so ridiculous is that we worry about things that never happen. In a study, it found that 40% of the time we worry about things that will never happen. 30% of things that can't be changed. 12% is about people who criticize you. They're envious about you. They feel they have a false of importance. And they are inferior. 10% relate to health, which worsens when you worry. And only 8% are legitimate reasons which you can do something about it. Most of the time we worry about things that never happen. It's like a person in the ward. He was holding his ear to the wall. And the nurse came around and said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Shh, I'm hearing something." And he calls the nurse and he asks the nurse to listen. And the nurse listens. And she says, "I can't hear a thing." And the patient said, "Yes, that's what's happening all the whole day." See, we worry about everything. Worry is like putting your car in neutral and revving the engine. It burns oil and gas, it's hard on the engine, but it doesn't get you anywhere. If you were going on a trip, you lock the door, you activate the security system, maybe you ask your neighbor to look after your place. These are reasonable precautions. Worry becomes when you take things in extreme. You begin to worry, will my house be broken down? Will someone come in? Will my house be on fire? And then when you are gone, you say, "Have I locked the door? Have I switched off the lights?" Worry is an Anglo-Saxon word which means to strangle. It's an emotional point when we worry. It strangles your peace of mind. This is exactly what worry does. It's a kind of mental and emotional strangulation, which causes more mental and physical afflictions than any other single cause. And worry might be the sin that Christians commit frequently. Jesus gives us four reasons why worrying is wrong. Let me read to you what he says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. This is what he says. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, whether you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Therefore I tell you, he says, don't worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, what your body, what you will wear. Is life more important than food, and body more important than clothes? You see, during Jesus' time, people were worried about life, about food and drink. But here in our present world, we worry about cancer, we worry about terrorism, we worry about losing our jobs, our children's safety. This verse begins with the word therefore. Therefore means there's something before that. What was that he was talking about? And therefore takes us back to the previous verse. And the previous verse says, no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Jesus declares that the believer's only Lord is God. When the Bible says God is our Lord, it means that he controls our lives. When you worry, you stop trusting God and you start trying to take control of your life. But God's promises, God will meet all your needs according to the glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Secondly, worry is unnecessary because your Father provides you. Jesus says in verses 26, 27, let me read to you again. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by asking a thought, can add one cubic unto his stature? Can you worry and become taller? Can you worry and add one single hour to your life? You see, our culture is based on trying to lengthen life. We exercise, we supplement our diet with vitamins and minerals, we eat omega-3, and now it's found to be useless. We try and add our years to our lives. Those habits, no doubt, can improve your quality and productivity, but it will not force God into extending your lifespan. You can worry yourself to death, but you don't worry yourself to life. Someone, a physician, wrote, worry affects the circulation, the heart, the gland, and the nervous system. I have never met a man or known a man to die of overwork, but I've known a lot of people who die of worry. Worry reveals that you have a defective or lack of trust of God. Worry reveals that you do not truly trust in God's promises. Worry is unreasonable. Let me read to you verses 31, 32. It says, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or whatsoever shall be withered, For after all, these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need for all these things. Do not worry, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear? For the pagan, Jesus says, run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Jesus says, when we worry, we are no different than unbelievers. They don't have a heavenly Father, so they have reason to worry. But we have no excuse for worrying. We know we have a heavenly Father who loves us. Sometimes we behave like unbelievers. When we think like the world, we crave like the world. We worry like the world. Because a mind that is not centered on God is a mind that causes us to worry. God expects more of us. He expects us to be different. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Seek God's kingdom. Seek to Lord, let God rule in your life. Seek God's righteousness. Seek to do what is right according to God. You know, the biggest killer in UK is heart disease. 38% of all their deaths are related to heart. Hypertension, high blood pressure, anxiety. In the past, we were worried about infection, bacterial infection. Today, mental stress has replaced bacteria. Worry damages our physical and spiritual health. Fourthly, worry is unwise because of your future. Verse 34 says, therefore take no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of yourself. Sufficient unto today is the evil thereof. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. Jesus says, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Jesus is not saying, don't plan for the future. He says, don't worry about the future. Don't worry about how you're going to handle the problems of tomorrow. Focus on the problems of today. There is enough trouble in each day without adding the distress of worry to it. So what causes worry? Number one, the affluence of our age, prosperity. Affluence dulls your senses. It makes you forget where you come from. You take for granted prosperity, not realizing how vulnerable it is. In fact, the greater the prosperity, the greater the inequality. You have the very poor and you have the very rich. We think if we have, the more security there is, not a chance. The more we have, the more we have to worry about. It's like the car, a man who was driving his BMW. Oh, he was so pleased with his BMW. And then he went into a ditch. And he came up and he looked at his car and said, oh, my BMW. And the policeman came up to him and said, Hey, that's the least of your worry. What happened to your arm? And he looked, his arm had gone. And what did he say? My Rolex watch. The more we have to worry. Things, possessions, property, bank balance, cause people to worry. The second cause of worry is the media. We have global news into our houses every day. We have newspapers that what we read, bombing, murder, child abuse, corruption. Everything is presented in a negative way. Think about the weather. Today there's rain, all right? They never say about sunshine. When there's sunshine, they tell you about rain. Have you noticed that at 9 p.m., they say, wait, at 10 o'clock, you will have all the news. What if they come at 9 o'clock and say, there's no news at 10 o'clock. You can all watch cartoon, you can go on to sleep. It never happens. Because the program is tied to advertisement. The third worry is simply life's experience. It seems we worry about what we age. We see all lives around. We worry about children when they grow older. And then we worry whether they will go to college. And when they go to college, we worry whether they will graduate. And then when we worry whether, when they grow up, they will get married. Someone said to be a parent is to worry. It's everything. You can't go on a vacation if you don't get stressed out. Experience in life brings worries. A fourth of worry is our pace of life. We have fax machines, cellular phones, emails. We seldom relax. God intended our nervous system to live at peace, at the kind of pace we put them through. Nowadays, they say children should not have their cell phones or their television after 8 o'clock. Some schools even ban handphones. You see, worry, as I said, strangles us. It chokes us. There was a golfer, the one who plays golf. He was having a terrible day. He slides his ball into the bushes, then the bushes into a sand trap, then from the sand trap into the field. And he went looking for the ball. And his friend said, "Why do you worry?" He said, "Oh, that's my lucky ball." We need more than luck. We need answers. John 14:1, do not let your heart be troubled. Philippians 14:6, do not be anxious about anything. How do we have a worry-free life? Here are four clues. Number one, slow down. There's a correlation between hurry and worry. They are intertwined, they are together. And maybe one of the reasons we worry so much is because we are part of a society that worries on the clock. We hurry than ever before. We always watch the clock. There's a story about a city, a buses in a city. The buses were driving past passengers at bus stops. So someone complained to the transport authority. Why are your buses passing and not picking up passengers? And what it was the press release, it says, it is impossible for us to maintain our schedules if we always have to stop and pick up passengers. Oh well, we are in a hurry. We sometimes miss the main things. We need to slow down. We need to reflect on the promises of God. We need to remember that God is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. For all things work together for good for those who love the God. For our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed. God created the heavens and the earth. In my Father's house are many mansions. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So live. Live one day at a time. Don't worry about tomorrow's worries. Worrying is experiencing a crisis before it happens. We grow a lot of time fretting about future things. What if there's an earthquake or there's a cancer? You know, I came across an article which says that they found that in 4,000 people who had no heart attack, 38 of them died on Monday. But 15 died on Friday. Why was Monday dangerous? Because they start worrying about the stuff that's piled up on the next 4 days. We worry about tomorrow's problems. And by the time Friday comes, all things weren't so bad after all. The Bible says, don't worry about tomorrow. Because you can't control it. Sufficient unto the days the evil thereof. So keep a long-term perspective. Focus on heaven. Seek first the kingdom of God. Develop an internal, eternal perspective. If I knew my house was going to burn down tomorrow, would I stop worrying about how I'm going to decorate it today? Does it make any difference if I'm 5 pounds overweight? Or if my children didn't get all the stars in their school exam? Or if my spouse put a dent in the fender of my car? What counts is your heart, your character, your generosity, and most important of all, your salvation. Slow down. Don't worry about tomorrow's worries. Keep a long-term perspective. Remember God's faithfulness. Learn to trust on the providence of God. The birds trust God to supply their needs. However, God does not come and put worms in their mouths. Trusting God doesn't mean we are lazy and indifferent. It means that we come to the point that we can know that God will provide what I really need. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Worry says, I don't believe he can do it. You know, the robin, the bird, said to the sparrow, I'd really like to know why those anxious human beings rush and worry. Said the sparrow to the robin, I think it must be they have no heavenly Father like the one who cares for you and me. We can think differently when we develop an awareness of God's presence in our lives and depend fully upon God and His strength to empower us to defend our hearts from fear and worry. You know, Philippians, which I read just now, it says, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let our anxieties make ourselves incapable of God's grace. Rejoice means to have joy in the Lord. If we cannot trust God, whom can we trust? Here's the bottom line. You can be anxious in nothing because God is God. You can rejoice with God if God is near. You can turn your worries over to God because God loves you and cares for you. Paul says, rejoice always. He's so adamant that he repeats the phrase twice. Rejoice. This is much more than encouragement. It is an emphasis for life. As a believer, you go throughout the day without rejoicing, then you haven't really lived. Worries and anxieties cause us to focus on our circumstances and miss out on real living. Paul says, focus on the Lord and rejoice, and then you are really living. Oh, the second attitude is prayerful in everything. Prayerful in everything. When confronted with an unexpected situation or problem, your first response is to turn to God in prayer. The reason we can be anxious in nothing and rejoice in the Lord is because God is powerfully present for us in prayer. Paul recognizes that many of our prayers are what we call prayers of supplication or request. Sometimes when we are well and spiritually strong, we turn to God in prayer, seeking nothing than His presence in our lives. But many times we come to God because we are in desperation. We are beaten down by life. We come to God as supplicants, needing help. We have specific needs for which we ask for God's intercessions. Although sometimes our requests are very simple, that is quite all right. There were two little boys who, in September, they put on their mittens, their coats and hats, and they had their sledge, and they went up to the hill and they said, "We are ready, God, let it snow." That is faith. God wants our prayers. He wants our supplications. He wants our requests. God wants to be vitally present in our lives. He wants us to be prayerful in everything. Prayer is a cure for anxiety. Notice that Paul doesn't say, if you're anxious, you should take medication, or you go on a talk show, or you go on a support group. He says prayer. Prayer is a cure for anxiety, because it takes us into the presence of the great physician. There is no problem too big or too small for God to fix. There was a father who watched at the kitchen window, and he saw his 70-year-old child was playing in the backyard in the sandbox. And he watched, and she was trying to take a big rock out of her sandbox. But every time she tried to do it, it rolled back. And it pinched her fingers. Then the father walked out to this little girl. And what was the matter? She said, this rock is too big. I'm trying to lift it out. And the father said, why didn't you use your strength? He said, I did. The father said, but you didn't ask me. And so the father went in and took the rock out of the sandbox and helped the daughter roll it over the side. God wants to lift the rock out of the sandpit of your life. Do not be anxious. Come to Him with every need that you have. God is our strength and with His help, He will remove the rocks from the sandpit of your life. Therefore, in everything, be thankful. That's the way it is. The guiding hand of God is constantly present to us. Through Jesus Christ, we are adopted into the family of God. We can never be abandoned children. We always remain in the love of God, no matter what happens. This is the reason we can be thankful for in anything. Thankful is just not a question of surface smiles and smiling. It is a confidence that whatever comes our way, our life is erected on a foundation of power in Jesus Christ. Our life is built on the presence of the living God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. The ways of God are beyond the comprehension of human beings. Thus, the actual peace of God is something we can experience but cannot explain. Paul maintains that part of this gift will guard and keep safe both the heart and mind of the believer who is in Jesus Christ. We cannot change the events that are causing us to worry. We cannot prevent problems from arising in our lives. We cannot foresee every difficulty. We cannot control every situation. But we can decide whether we're going to worry about every difficulty. We can decide whether we are going to let problems stress us out. For worry is a habit. Habits are deliberately acquired. That is, we can decide what habits we are going to practice. Habits are something we can allow to happen, and something we can change. If stress and worry are your habits, you need a change. And what the Bible says, renew your mind. Renew your mind. Finally, brother, what is true, what is noble, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely, what is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. You have a choice. Are things right in your mind? Are your thoughts noble and right? Are they lovely and pure? Do your thoughts lead you to praise? If these are the things you're not thinking about, renew your mind. Let me give you an illustration as a conclusion. This was the time of Napoleon, the emperor, and he was very powerful. And he did not brook anyone who criticized him. And there was a man called, we shall call his name Charnay. Charnay was heard to make a remark that offended the emperor, and he was cast into a dungeon cell. He was left to die. Slowly he began to lose his faith in God. And one day, in a moment of desperation, he says, "There is no life," he wrote on the prison wall. He sat in the darkness of his cell, and he grew more bitter by the day. But there was one spot in the cell where every morning a single ray of light, sunlight, came and remained for a while. And one morning, to his amazement, where the sunlight had come onto the ground, a little plant began to grow. And the little ration of water that he had, he began to cultivate that plant. And the plant began to grow. The green blade became his friend. It became his teacher. And one day the plant bloomed into a beautiful flower, a purplish and white flower. What? Charnay began to think about God. He scratched off the thing on the wall and he said, "He who made all things is God." Now the guards in the prison and the wives, they all heard about this story. And it went to Napoleon's wife, Josephine. And she said, "How can a man who nurtures such a plant in prison can be evil?" So he persuaded Napoleon to set him free. So Charnay was set free. You can be sure he took the whole plant with him. "If God so clothed the grass of the field, which today and tomorrow is cast in heaven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" God is in control. The Bible tells us he will cause all things to work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. God has not overlooked you. Trust him. Renew your mind and think on the right things. In so doing, you'll find you can rejoice, for God is at work, and through him, the circumstances of your life. Rejoice in the Lord. Guard your emotions as you respond to life with gentleness. Rejoice in the Lord as you refuse to give a place in your heart for fear and worry. Pray for everything. Rejoice. Renew your mind. Think the right thoughts. And when you rejoice in the Lord, thanksgiving will overflow in the peace of God. Finally, let me read Philippians verses 8. Renew your mind. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. These things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the peace, the God of peace, shall be with you." Let me summarize. Be careful for nothing, But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Anxious in nothing, be prayerful in everything. Be thankful in all things. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Peace in Jesus Christ. Renew your mind. Renew your mind. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, what other things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if any praise, think of these things. Those things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Amen. And all the people say, Amen. Amen. Shall I announce the closing hymn?